scripture today comes from Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Shall we begin with prayer? You gave us life for a purpose, Father. Everything you do has purpose and love behind it. Help us to see the futility of living for ourselves, where our dreams will turn to ashes. But rather, may we seek your face, for you are our God, and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Be with us now, inspire us as we each need to hear, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a quote from Ellen White. What do we give up when we give up all? A sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by his own blood, and to save by his matchless love. And yet, men think it hard to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. An image came to my mind then, of a poor little girl looking with vacant eyes down at the sidewalk as she walked past me. She's wearing a tattered yellow dress. Her hair is in disarray. Her face is dirty with streaks where tears had run down her face. And she is clutching a small, dirty blanket that's dragging on the ground. I sense that her blanket is very much a part of her. From God's perspective, we are in dire need of renewal and restoration. He sees what we may become. The Savior knows the depths of the world's misery and despair, and he knows how to bring relief. He sees souls in distress, bowed down with sin and sorrow and pain. But most of all, he sees their possibilities. He sees the height to which they may attain. Although human beings have abused their mercies, wasted their talents, and lost the dignity of godlike manhood and womanhood, by their redemption, the Creator is to be glorified. God has plans for us. Let's apply Isaiah 55:9 to ourselves. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts for you than your thoughts for yourself. God has lofty plans for us that we cannot imagine. By limiting our relationship with God, we lessen what he can do for us. There is one God. He is all-knowing, full of love for all his creatures, infallible, eternal, all-powerful, and self-existent. And he gives a living knowledge of himself through the scriptures under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to man for our eternal salvation. His love for mankind is supreme as expressed through the gift of his only begotten Son. On his mission of love, he came to die for men so that they would have the opportunity to come and abide with him forever, where they would also enjoy the company of unfallen beings, to live for an eternity of unimaginable happiness and satisfying occupation that would engage and stretch their faculties forever. This is the plan that God has always had for mankind, we who are the apple of his eye. And we may be sure that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, for he is God, after all. Nothing happens in all his creation that he does not allow. His providence for all things will prevail. Ezekiel 12:25 states, "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God." Ezekiel 12:28 says, "Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the words which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. God has spoken. There will be no delay, and all that God has said will come to pass. Whereas mankind is a creation of God, a living being crowned with glory and honor by God's mindful care and endowed with attributes after God himself. Man has freedom of choice by which he may learn of God and choose to love him. And this would have been the most natural response, but mankind estranged himself from God and has continued to be self-willed and has failed to act upon God's promises, and history and the present world condition bear testimony to the results of men's choices. Right away, we should see problems with how we put our thoughts ahead of God's will for us. How would our rebelliousness work in an employer-employee relationship? No created being can be greater than the one who created him, not in terms of knowledge or wisdom, or in knowing what to do that was truly best for him, or in being steadfast and living by holy principles, or by any measure of strength or ability, or by fulfilling God's providence any better than God would. It would make more sense to set up the family car so that a 7-year-old could push on the pedals and handing him the keys than to think that man can direct his life better than God. We need to recognize God's sovereignty over all things, especially ourselves. It is God who gave men everything he has and is and can become, and he sustains his life continually. It is for God's own purposes, which are as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, that he sustains man. Our value was established on the cross of Calvary, and the fulfillment of God's plans has yet to be fully revealed. We make mistakes. We don't like to think about them. The times we were not true to our convictions, the times we were impatient with someone, the times we should have apologized for our mistakes, or the times we failed to give the encouragement or hope that was within our power to give, but we didn't. Mistakes and a lack of steadfastness and integrity are a part of being human. But there is no excuse to deny God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Psalm 14:1. It takes a fool to say that there is no God. Rejection of divine authority. A person may deny Christ or Scripture, thus separating himself from the Father and the Son, and then he becomes blind to the truth. This is like the story of the king who wore no clothes, who virtually said, "I see nothing wrong." But he was only kidding himself. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. When Christ was in our world, he said to the Pharisees and scribes, "Why do ye not understand my words and appreciate them?" They were continually twisting his words to their own purposes, his plain words of truth and life. With clarity and power, he spoke the words that were to come down to our time as a treasure of goodness. What precious words they were, so full of encouragement. From his divine lips came benedictions that showed him to be the fountain of all goodness, and that it was his right to bless and impress the minds of all with his divinity. The treasures of eternity were at his command. He had brought into the world every blessing essential to the happiness and joy of every soul, and before the vast assembly, he presented the riches of the grace of heaven, the accumulated treasures of the eternal, everlasting Father. There were occasions when Christ spoke with an authority and irresistible force, with an overwhelming sense of the greatness of the speaker, and the people shrank into nothingness in comparison with the one who stood before them. They were deeply moved. They were impressed that he spoke from a position of the most excellent glory, conviction. As he summoned the world to listen, they were spellbound and entranced, and conviction came to their minds. Every word established itself in their minds, and the hearers believed and received the words that they could not resist. Every word he uttered seemed as the life of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Yes, he was before John, and shrouded in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, he led the children of Israel through the wilderness during their long pilgrimage. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Grounded. We are instructed to be grounded in the Lord, having a single-minded devotion to God. James 1:5-8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, wavering nothing. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." How common is it that we feel some inadequacy? But here we say that God is more than willing to restore us in whatever capacity he needs to use us. It is good for us to recognize our shortcomings and humble ourselves before the Lord. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. The Bible is the word of truth, our guide for what is absolutely true and reliable. It is the immovable, everlasting standard by which all other things are evaluated. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible is the definitive guide for man for this life and the preparation for the next. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." John 16:13. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119:105. God's word is practical, giving guidance for daily living. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. "For I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi 3:6. "What God says is solid. He means what he says, and we can rely on it wholeheartedly." Furthermore, he says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. If God had said nothing else in our regard, that would be enough. If we were taking job applications for God to be our God, there would be nothing more that we would need to know. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of heavenly lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. Isn't it reassuring to know that God will truly do what he says he will do, unlike so many things on earth? Ample evidence. Yes, God provides ample evidence of his existence. He reveals himself in nature and the human conscience, and through special revelation through Scripture and Jesus Christ. God's manifestations in nature reassure us of his abiding presence and protection by serving as visible, everyday, tangible evidence of his eternal power, divine nature, and loving care. Through the intricate details of creation, from the stars in the sky to the minutest plants, God's handiwork is displayed clearly, demonstrating that he upholds the universe and sustains all life. The consistent order, beauty, and harmony found in the natural world reflect God's perfect management of his creation, giving a sense of stability and reliability to our lives. We are reminded that the same God who cares for the common sparrow and adorns the lilies that return every spring is watching over them, giving us assurance that we are never forgotten, never forsaken. Romans 1:20 states that God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen and understood from what has been made. Psalm 19:1-9, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous forever. God is evidenced. Scripture indicates that God has implanted an awareness of himself within our very being. Romans 2:14-15 explains that God's law is written in their hearts, and our conscience serves as a witness to his existence. Ecclesiastes 3:11 mentions that God has planted eternity in the human heart. This is where we were made to be, to have an innate longing to know our Creator. To deny God is to deny our Maker. To deny God is to deny that we were created. It is to deny that we exist. Beyond what is found in nature, the Bible presents Jesus and Scripture as the most complete and personal revelation of God. For indeed, God is a person. This is not to bring God down to our level of human frailty. God is a spirit, but yet he is a personal being, for man was made in his image. But rather, we are honored by God's creating us after his image, endowed with attributes that allow us to communicate and interact and relate with him on levels that are meaningful to us. that make life worth living. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Prove for ourselves. God invites us to prove for ourselves the reality of his word, the truth of his promises. He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34:8. The world is full of all kinds of errors, and it is essential that every person is certain that they know what truth is. There is need that we reverence the word of God and recognize his voice in the living oracles, that we may practice its precepts and live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Those that do the will of God shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, for no deception will cloud their minds. God calls everyone, young and old, to make a diligent search in his word, that they may discover the rich jewels of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. God never asks us to believe without giving sufficient evidence upon which to base our faith. His existence, his character, the truthfulness of his word are all established by abundant testimony that appeals to our reason. Faith must rest upon evidence, not demonstration. We're not waiting to see miracles. Those who wish to doubt will have opportunity, while those who really desire to know the truth will find plenty of evidence on which to rest their faith. It is impossible for finite minds fully to comprehend the character or the works of the Infinite One. To the keenest intellect, the most highly educated mind, that holy being will remain clothed in mystery. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty fully? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? Job 11:7-8. The Apostle Paul exclaims, O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. We can so far comprehend his dealings with us and see his motives that we may discern boundless love and mercy and infinite power. We can understand as much of his purposes as is good for us to know. But beyond this, we must trust the hand that is omnipotent, the heart that is full of love for us. We ought to have a childlike humility, dependence, trust, and acceptance. The Word of God, like the character of its divine author, presents mysteries that can never be fully comprehended, for he is God, and we are only finite beings. The entrance of sin into the world, the incarnation of Christ, our regeneration, the resurrection, and many other subjects presented in the Bible are mysteries too deep for the human mind to fully comprehend. But we have no reason to doubt God's word because we cannot understand the mysteries of his providence. Everywhere are wonders beyond our understanding in the natural world. Should we be surprised to realize that in the spiritual world also there are mysteries that we cannot fathom? Our difficulty lies in the weakness and narrowness of the human mind. In the scriptures, God has given enough evidence of their divine character that we are not to doubt his word because we cannot understand all the mysteries of providence. The Apostle Peter says that there are in scripture things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable distort unto their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. The difficulties of Scripture have been regarded by skeptics as arguments against the Bible, but actually, this is evidence of its divine origin. If Scripture contained nothing but that which we could easily understand, if His greatness and majesty could be grasped by finite minds, then the Bible would not bear the unmistakable credentials of divine authority. The Bible unfolds truth with a simplicity and a perfect adaptation to the needs and longings of our hearts that has astonished the most intelligent, while it enables the uneducated to discern the way of salvation. And yet, these simply stated truths lay hold upon subjects so elevated, so far-reaching, so infinitely beyond the power of human comprehension that we can only accept them because we have faith in God. Thus, the plan of redemption is laid open to us so that every soul may see the steps he needs to take in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Yet, these truths, so easily understood, lie mysteries that are hiding of his glory, mysteries that overpower the mind in its study, yet continue to inspire the sincere seeker for truth with reverence and faith. The more he searches the Bible, the deeper is his conviction that it is the word of the living God, and human reasoning bows before the majesty of divine revelation. To acknowledge that we cannot fully comprehend the great truths of the Bible is only to admit that the finite mind is inadequate to grasp the infinite, that man, with his limitations, cannot understand the purposes of omniscience. Don't we want to have a God that is greater than we are? To acknowledge that we cannot fully comprehend, because they cannot fathom all its mysteries, the skeptic and the infidel reject God's word. The apostle says to them, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Skepticism can come about when there is pride attached to the study of Scripture, such that when a person might feel frustrated they can't explain every part of Scripture, it's too humiliating for them to admit that there is something they don't understand, and so they would rather deny the authority of Scripture above their supposed wisdom. If it were possible for human beings to obtain to a full understanding of God and His works, then there would be nothing further for them to discover, no growth in knowledge, no further development of mind or heart. God would no longer be supreme. But God is infinite, and in Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Colossians 2:3. And for all eternity, men may be ever searching, ever learning, and yet never exhaust the treasures of His wisdom, His goodness, and His power. Will heaven be boring? No. We will have mind and hand and body engaged in the most wonderful things. There is only one way in which this knowledge can be obtained. We can attain to an understanding of God's word only through the illumination of that Spirit by which the word was given. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We must have the simplicity and faith of a little child who is ready to learn and imploring the aid of the Holy Spirit, a sense of the power and wisdom of God and of our inability to comprehend His greatness should inspire us with humility, and of our inability to comprehend His greatness should inspire us to open His word as we would enter His presence with holy awe. When we come to the Bible, reason must acknowledge an authority superior to itself, and heart and intellect must bow to the great I Am. There are many things apparently difficult or obscure which God will make plain and simple to to those who seek to understand. Without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are liable to misinterpret scriptures. When the Word of God is opened without reverence, when the thoughts are not fixed upon God or are not in harmony with His will, the mind becomes filled with doubts and skepticism increases. It is said that the real cause of doubt and skepticism in most cases is the love of sin. God's words are not welcome to the proud, sin-loving heart, and those unwilling to obey its requirements will dismiss its authority. In order to arrive at truth, we must have an honest desire to know the truth and be willing to obey it. And then we will find plenty of evidence that it is God's word and will obtain a knowledge making us wise unto salvation. And even if we acknowledge that God is true, but we don't feel like it, God is willing to entertain our prayers, to open our hearts, because He has done so much for us. Christ has said, "If any man willeth," that's the use of our will, is to tell God we need help. "If any man willeth to do His will, he shall know of the teaching," John 7:17. Instead of dwelling on what you do not understand, listen and act upon what you do understand, and then you will receive greater light. By the grace of Christ, perform every duty that has been made clear, and you will be given more light as you advance. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," Psalm 119:105. Driving at night or walking by the light of a flashlight, one can only see so far, but it is only as you move forward that more is revealed to you. And so you advance, one section at a time. But if you had decided at the start that you could not move forward because you could not be sure of everything ahead of you, your whole past, then you would get nowhere. The evidence of personal experience is available to every soul created by God. Nobody can stand in the way between the longing of the soul and God who created him for greater things than he knows. God invites us to prove for ourselves the reality of His word, the truth of His promises. He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Instead of depending upon the word of another, we are to taste for ourselves. He declares, "Ask and ye shall receive." John 16:24. His promises will be fulfilled. They have never failed. They cannot fail. And as we draw near to Jesus and rejoice in the fullness of His love, our doubt and darkness will disappear in the light of His presence. I think sometimes we think that there are others who are closer to God than we are. Well, we need to remember that God died for every one of us, and it doesn't matter what our station in life is or our disadvantages or our advantages when we were being raised. Many of us have had less than optimal parents. Isn't that true? So, our daughter Lindsay, before she met Samuel, had expressed concern about entering into a marriage relationship, for she had seen other relationships that fell apart. Some years after she and Samuel had been married, I asked her about her previous concern now that she and Samuel were married. And she said that she had no concern at all. Her concerns had vanished. To a parent, these words are golden. And so, surpassing all human relationships, our Father in heaven wants a relationship with each of us. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:38-39. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. God is our eternal source of light, protection, favor, and honor, providing all necessary things to those who live with integrity. Instead of relying upon the word of another, taste for yourself. Experience is knowledge derived from experiment. Experimental knowledge is needed. Taste and see that the Lord is good. By faith, we may look to the hereafter and grasp the pledge of God for a growth of intellect, the human faculties uniting with the divine, and every power of the soul being brought into direct contact with the source of light. Now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. This is the proof of experience. God invites us to prove for ourselves the reality of his word, the truth of his promises. He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good. Are we content to just accept somebody else's version, or do we want to find out for ourselves? And if we have not once given ourselves to the Lord, we will never know what we can become. The old is put away, the new is yet to come. Instead of depending on what someone else says, we are to taste for ourselves. And as we draw near to Jesus and rejoice in the fullness of his love, our doubt and darkness will disappear in the light of his presence. The Christian knows in whom he has believed. He does not only read the Bible, he experiences the power in its teachings. He has not only heard of Christ's righteousness, he has opened the windows of his soul to the light of the Son of Righteousness. God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13. And everyone who has passed from death unto life is able to set his seal that God is true, John 3:33. He can testify, I needed help and I found it in Jesus. Everything I wanted in life was provided. My soul is satisfied. And now the Bible is to me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why do I believe in Jesus? Because he is my divine Savior. Why do I believe the Bible? Because it is the voice of God to my soul. We may have the witness in ourselves that the Bible is true, that Christ is the Son of God. We are convicted that these are not cunningly devised fables. To us individually, if we will be honest with ourselves and lay it all on the line, this is the truth of life, that we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, or we are just lying to ourselves, our very being. Peter exhorts the brethren to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When the people of God are growing in grace, they will be constantly obtaining a clearer understanding of his word. They will discern new light and beauty in its depths. The path of the righteous is as the light of dawn that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. By faith we may look to the hereafter and grasp the pledge of God that our wisdom will continue to increase, our faculties uniting with the divine, and every part of our soul in direct contact with the source of light. All that we did not understand in the providences of God and in the troubles that we are part of will be made plain, and where our finite minds discovered only confusion and broken promises, we shall see the most perfect and beautiful harmony. Now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. In God's plans for us, we have unimaginable things to look forward to. that will not disappoint, unlike the ways which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, you have only good planned for us. May we be aware of our misunderstandings about you and desire to turn from our errors and return to the truth in you, so that your name will be glorified in all creation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.